So let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.'" Here's the context of Acts 1, the birth of the early church. The most powerful, miraculous, supernatural thing that has ever happened. A dead person coming to life and never dying again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. This shook the world. This shook the Pharisees. How could somebody who died rise again and no longer die? This was Jesus. And then Jesus appeared to many, not just to the disciples, but to thousands. And he told them this, Acts 1:8, right? And as Jesus ascended, the church was birthed. And so imagine if all of us were in that place and we saw Jesus, who died and resurrected again, talking to us. Imagine the energy of the place. Imagine the excitement that was happening to thousands of Christians who were persecuted by the Pharisees, but now they saw that our King, our Savior, our Lord is alive. Everybody wanted to go out. Come on, it's time to post the Facebook. It's time to plant the church. It's time to do, you know, YouTube channel of this Jesus coming to life. Everybody was excited. Everybody wanted to go, especially the core team of Christ, the 12 disciples. And when they were staying in the upper room to depart, let's do this. Let's go. Let's make it happen. Makati. Hashtag. The Lord told them, wait. But to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me." They were ready to go, but the Lord said, wait. Who among you here, you're like that? Lord, I'm ready to go. Lord, I'm excited. Let's do this, Lord. Then the Lord tells you, no, no, wait. It's like, Lord, let's do this. But God is saying, not now. Tomorrow, Lord? No, not tomorrow. Lord, why do you want me to wait? I got it. I got the message. I found the kingdom, truth. And now I want to spread it everywhere I go. The Lord says, wait, wait, wait. Wait. You know why? Because I'm doing something that would make what you will do make sense. So you wait. I know you're excited, but it won't make sense if you do it now. You have to learn how to wait. Because I'm doing something else. So that when you do it, you'll see that it makes sense. Parang mga anak natin to, no? Wait. No boyfriend yet. No, no, no. I'm in love. It doesn't make sense. You're grade 3. Okay. So. Wait. I wait. He's the one there. So handsome. You wait. Kasi you're dating with the mom's money. Eh. So you wait. Wait. This will make sense. Okay? This will make sense if you learn how to wait. Pero this is not a dating message. It's a missions message. Some singles, I know this is your mission. You wait. Okay? Amen. You take a bath. You wait. Okay? Maybe somebody will come. Okay, but I'm doing something that will make sense. But you have to learn how to wait. What are those things in your lives that you're willing to go, raring to go, but the Lord says, no, wait, I'm doing something. Wait for my timing. Verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." So they were raring to go. The Lord tells them to wait. You know why? First question they ask, "Lord, will you at this time restore Israel?" In their minds, it was still political in nature. They thought that the kingdom of God was very political. If the Lord becomes the governor or becomes the king, Israel will be restored. They have to wait because the Lord was saying, "No, that's not my plan. That's not the way we'll do things. You have to learn how to wait." Okay? Many times, especially now with all the knowledge in the world and ChatGPT, we're raring to go. We know the answer. Oh, it's so easy to... No, wait, wait. It's not just knowledge. You've got to have something else. The way of the kingdom of God is very different from the ways of mankind. How we will do things. How we plant churches. How we pastor. How we lead the flock. Is very different from how the world thinks. From the world, the perspective is always very power conscious, political in nature. If I get this influence, then I'll influence the whole world. If we only have this Christian politician, it will change the game. The Lord was actually adamant about this kind of nature. The kingdom does not work that way. Jesus was born in a manger. Very different. Even sometimes how we think missions, how we think the world, God will change the world, we have our human strategies. The Lord is saying, wait, that's not how I operate. The disciples could not understand. They were raring to go, this is the best. We have a good marketing narrative. Jesus died, rose again. Let's go. Let's do this. The Lord says, no, you wait. Why? Look at your mindset. It's still very political and humanistic. You can't do it on your own power. It doesn't work that way. Right? And we're all tested with this every elections, right? We put a political savior who will save us. So the Lord is scratching his head. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I've been saying, that's not the way. That's not the way of the kingdom. It's very different. But you have to be consistent in doing what the church is called to do. And then we'll get it. And then the Lord tells them, it's not like that, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So it's not political in nature, but you will receive power. Not political in nature. Not going to happen. You'll never know the times and dates. But there's something I'll give you. It's power from God. The word power here is the word dunamis, or dynamite power. A power that has powerful effect. There's impact. There's dynamite effect. When the Spirit comes, people will feel it. And then that power will make you what? Witnesses. So what is the Lord telling them to wait? Wait for the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Don't move without the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. Wait. How many projects you've entered into without depending on God? How many contracts have you signed without God in the equation? How many church and religious activities have we done without the go of the Holy Spirit? It's nice. It's there. It's a template. Let's do it. Wait. Every area of life, not just missions. This is applicable. Is God telling us to do this, or are we just excited? Oh, you're excited. You feel like, oh, this is what I want to do. Then you did all those things, and then it failed. What do you go? What do you do? You go to God. God, why did you make this fail? Something, Lord, did I tell you to do it? I told you to wait. There's no power. There was no go signal. When there's a go signal, the power goes with it. But if the Lord tells, wait, and you go, what happens? I don't know, all right? Mostly something bad. Or you exhaust yourself, you get tired. Because there's no power of the Holy Spirit. Every area, not just business, even in your marriage, even in parenting. Your goals, is the Lord telling you, you know, the older you get, the more you realize, oh, no, when I was in my 30s, I was hustling, I never asked the Lord. And then after it fails, Lord, why? The Lord tells you, anak, I never told you to do it. But we always have that way of thinking that if I just do it, all I need to do is go to the Lord and say, Lord, bless my plans. Wait for the power of God. What was the power? The power was to witness. What's a witness? Witness is not just sharing. Witness is experiencing something so that I could share. The Greek word is martyrs, or where the word martyr came from. Okay. I've experienced it. I'm willing to die for it. I'll share it to you. This is something that's different. So it's martyrs so that I can be marites. Okay? I've experienced, lalim na, you know, we have very deep preachings here, okay? Because I've witnessed, I can share the latest. For your life. John 10:10. Life in God. The abundant life in Christ. What? I've experienced. You don't just hype things. You should experience it. Who are the best witnesses? Those who saw it and experienced it. You don't say this restaurant is, you go there, it's really good. Have you tasted it? No, I heard. Yeah, you spend all the money, you go there on a road trip. You've never been there. Why would you tell me to go there? Right. You should experience. That is witness. To witness is to see and experience something and have the authority to tell what you have seen or experienced. We call to the stand the witness. You've seen, you've experienced, now I tell. The disciples didn't have to go to an evangelism class before. Today, di ba? I don't want to share why I haven't been to evangelism class. What will the class tell you? The same thing. You're sinners. You need Christ. The way is... So what is evangelism? What have I experienced? The forgiveness of sin. What have I experienced? The unconditional love of God and His grace. Now go, live, and share the truth to the world. Let there be an overflow. That's evangelism. To witness. When we went to Kazakhstan with Sila Randall, you've got a set program for missions, right? Approach, Roy was there. Okay. The set program, if you're here in Manila, was to go there, talk to strangers, invite them to an event, make friends, pa-cute, di ba? And then maybe have a conversation with them later on presenting the gospel. We tried doing it, and it wasn't working first 2 days. So we told our pastor in Kazakhstan, are we really going to do this the whole time? So what should we do? We had our planning one morning. And we were saying, I don't think it's going to work this way if this is the next 8 more days for us. So what will we do? You know what? Let's just do things we really love doing and invite other Kazakhs to join us. So what do we love doing? Eating. We started eating and inviting the Kazakhs to eat with us. On church, our tour guide, the friend of our tour guide, friends that we would meet in the campus, we would invite them. And they would go with us. Very strange, by the way, they would go with us. Right? But every time we would eat, they would always mention this, how come you guys are so happy? The answer? Food. Nah, Jesus. Food. Okay. It's the food. And then when they saw us sharing the food, they were so touched. Oh, you guys share? Yeah. Fun. Very fun. Family. Something that they were longing for. And then later on, the conversation would go to how to start a business, how to cook, personal finance, and then later spiritual conversations. It's amazing that if you just do what you do, overflowing with the life of Christ, evangelism happens. Witness. Powerful experience we had. Sabi, parang breaking up mindsets when we were in Kazakhstan. And I think it's the same way with their friends. Have you taken time to have coffee with them, talk with them, genuinely know them? I think this is what discipleship and mission looks like. Christians doing things the way they do things with the life of Christ overflowing in them. And then later, for sure, because of the conviction that is so strong, they ask you, what's up with you? Why are you like that? You have to experience and see. And now you have the authority. Imagine the authority from Christ to share the word and the gospel. Jesus, in Matthew 28, commissioned us with his authority and said to the church, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Whose authority do we operate in? The authority of Christ. Imagine you're sending authority, Christ. Go, church. Do the work. Do the mission of God. Love others. Share this love under my authority. Every day we get to do this. Under whose authority? God. Wow. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. How does Christian mission look like, even for us, aside from sending missionaries? It's living out a really good Christian culture of love, of peace, of shalom. But Cristiano, hindi chismoso, chismosa. As Christians, you don't, what? Bitterness, anger. So that they might see, wow, that's life. Helping the poor. Loving the vulnerable and the unlovable. And they see that and they would say, wow, I want to be a Christian. That's how you live out the faith. The Bible says that you will receive power. Imagine this picture. Every day. Never ending. Power. Parang Shazam lang. Operating in you. God saying, I've given you the power. If the church won't do mission, what happens to that power? Nag-go over, no? Pretty in the doubt. It explodes. It destroys. Why? It's not doing its work. It's pressurized power without any outlet. God says, I give you dunamis power. Go do the work. So imagine the energy of the life of a Christian. Imagine the power source God commissioning the church to do the mission in a global scale. No wonder Acts 1:8 tells us you will receive dunamis. Why? You need all the power, a never-ending source of power, because it's a mission of a global scale. It's not just Makati. It's for the world.